What's up, everyone? Happy Friday. Where the fuck have I been for the past week and a half? I've been in a deep, dark depression hellhole where my mental health has just been really bad. I don't even know what ignited this pitfall. There's no rhyme. There's no reason. There's no logic. There's no rationale behind it. Hence why, you know, mental health is such a mystery to even modern doctors and scientists and researchers. Like, we just don't fucking know what the fuck is going on in our brains. And for the past week and a half, I've been doubting myself, doubting my career, doubting this podcast, doubting my artistic, creative abilities. Everything seems pointless. Everything seems like a dead end. I don't want to bum you down with the details, and I'm trying not to apologize for taking, you know, just like a week off to focus on mental health. I don't think that's anything you should apologize for ever, but at the same time, I am aware that people are expecting things from me, and if you are expecting an episode and you don't see it, you're going to be like, well, what the fuck? Did this bitch quit? Did this bitch die from COVID? Like, what's going on? It's really nothing that dramatic, or maybe it is, depending on who you talk to. Mental health is a big deal, sometimes not a big deal. It's a mess, but I'm back. And I feel okay. I don't feel great, honestly. I'm still like, oh, like, is it too early? Is it too soon? But honestly, sometimes you just have to break the pattern, right? Like, it's easier to say, oh, I'm just not ready. Maybe I'll wait until Monday. Maybe I'll see how I feel in the next coming days. That's one option. Sometimes I think it's just better to break through the mold, just fucking do it, rip the band-aid off, get back on track, even if it doesn't feel right 100% yet. Maybe by the end of it, I'll be like, okay, I did it, and it wasn't that bad. I've been hyping myself up that like every episode has to be perfect, and I have to sound like this intelligent, funny human being constantly, and that's exhausting. When in reality, people probably just listen because I'm being myself, and that's the most relatable person you could ever be, right? Like, if you're constantly trying to be funny or interesting or have all these unique little anecdotes, yeah, that's realistic for a while, but eventually it's gonna die down and people just want to see the real you. So here I am being the real me, telling you that I've cried so many times this week. I've had to stop using all means of technology. That means my phone. I've basically had to stay off the internet. And I'll explain how books have really saved my mental health over the past week and a half. But I have quite literally quit the internet for the past few days, including podcasting, including anything that has a wire or a cord or gives me access to the outside world. It's just been a very overwhelming few days for me where the smallest thing will push me over the edge. I remember I was sitting with my husband the other day, and have you ever heard of this little bathroom gadget called the Tushy? The Tushy is an at-home bidet device. What is a bidet? Well, it's a bathroom product that, it's like a toilet, except its main purpose is for you to wash your butt with water. It's very popular in Europe, especially in France. I think it's a French invention, Monsieur Bidet. It's probably named after the inventor. It's literally water so you can wash your ass and make it clean instead of just wiping your ass with a dry toilet paper, which isn't very clean or sanitary. So I purchased not a bidet, but it's called Tushy. It's basically a bidet that requires no plumbing, no electrical work. You hook it onto your toilet and it squirts water into your butthole. And my husband made some fucking joke, some like stupid bathroom joke about poop or farting or like dirty buttholes. And I was just like, really? Like, you can't just say like, oh, what a great idea, babe. Yeah, go ahead and buy this really useful tool. It was like, like my butt's gonna feel fun. And you know how boys get, okay? My husband is fucking 40 and he still makes fart jokes and bathroom jokes around the clock. And I was just not fucking having it. And I had to leave the room. I looked at him and I was like, I can't do this. And he's like, wait, can't do what? What are you talking about? I'm like, I can't do that. I can't. I started crying over a fart joke in relation to the Tushy product that I bought. like, that's how sensitive I was. And nothing was a joke. Nothing was funny. Everything felt like a dig. Everything felt like a below the belt personal insult. And I had to leave the room, and I came back 10 minutes later, and I was just like, I bought the tushy. And he was like, great. And then I think in his soul, he was like, don't fucking say anything. Like, just say, okay, great. Listen, I don't know if I have any, oh God, I have a tickle in my throat. I don't know if I have any male listeners or people who identify as male, but here's the thing with us women. Sometimes we just want you to nod and say, great idea, or thank you, or you're welcome. Like, we don't always need the joke. We don't need fucking Chandler Bing over here with the sassy comment and the 1-2, like, you know, it's like when you're making a speech at a wedding party and then the drummer goes, ba-dum-bum-tsh. We don't need your ba-dum-bum-tsh. We just need, like, wow, cool, nice, great, okay. Like, we don't need the fucking joke. And my husband does the fucking jokes a lot sometimes. And I just wasn't in the mood. So that's where I've been. That's been my life. I've been ordering bidet devices. I've been crying on the floor. I've been pissed off at my husband. I've been ignoring technology and the outside world. And now we're back. Now we're back. So let's jump into our two moods. Since we're heading into the weekend, I know you're dying to have your sweet side and your sinister side. So on your sweet side, let's talk about Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day was on Monday, which feels like forever ago now. So first, actually, technically, if we're going to be chronologically accurate, we have to talk about Galentine's Day first, or Palentine's Day. Not Palestine, the country. Palentine's, like, you got your gal pals and you're just your pals. So we don't want to always assign gender. So Galentine's Day maybe is not appropriate for everyone. So you got Palentine's Day, the day that you celebrate the platonic relationships you have with your friends. Yes, romantic relationships are lovely and it's, you know, spectacular if you're married or in a relationship or hooking up with someone. But if you're single, or even if you're not single, regardless of your status, you got to celebrate the relationships, number one, with yourself. Actually, you know what? Since there's a Valentine's Day, there's a Palentine's Day, there should be, like, I don't know, I don't have a fancy name for it yet. It's got to be branded a little bit better, but it should be, like, your self-tine's day. It should be 3 days in a row where you celebrate your relationships. Number one, celebrate the relationship with yourself, which really should be an everyday thing on a daily basis, but oftentimes we forget. So you should celebrate the love with yourself first. Then comes Palentine's Day, the love with your friends. And then comes Valentine's Day, the love with a romantic partner. That's the way I would do it. It should be a 3-day national holiday where you just celebrate love and friendship and kindness with other humans and connection. And then the one with yourself as well. 3 days of chocolate, of romantic comedies, or whatever you love to do. You know, it doesn't have to be stereotypical flowers and a box of truffles. It can be whatever the fuck you want. Let's make it a 3-day national holiday called the celebration of relationships. So on Galentine's Day, which was Sunday, one of my friends came over and she brought cheese and crackers and wine, and we got drunk in my living room. It's so nice. You know what? When I was a renter for literally the past 20 years of my life, I never had friends over because I was never very proud of my apartment. It was just a generic apartment with generic white walls and a generic, regular, traditional cookie cutter kitchen. There was nothing personal about any of my apartments because there was quite literally nothing I could change. And I don't know, apartments just never felt like, ooh, come to my house, come to my little safe space, my little corner of the world. It never felt appropriate for hosting, for me. Like, this is my train of thought. And as we know, my mental health is off the hinges, so I may sound like a crazy person. I don't feel like apartments are meant for hosting. So this is the first time in my life where I'm like, no, come to my house. Like, everything, you know, mi casa, su casa, and like make yourself at home. All these little sayings in life have to do with homes rather than apartments. So I had my friend come over and it felt so nice. We've been spending more time at my house getting drunk than at the bars, and not for any reason. Like, I'm not really scared of COVID. Omicron is kind of dying down now. Like, I'm triple vax. Like, there's no reason why we wouldn't be at the bars. But for some reason, it's just that natural. We've just naturally felt more inclined. And maybe to save money, honestly, like, to bring a bottle of wine to someone's house is so much cheaper than tipping or paying for food and drinks at the bar. So she came over, brought cheese, wine, crackers, a little box of chocolates. We got drunk in my living room, listening to music. My husband, all the while, again, perks of being a homeowner. It feels so nice. He was in the same building as me, but there were no signs of him anywhere. He was down in the basement in his little man cave watching the Super Bowl. Oh, yeah, it was also Super Bowl Sunday. Watching the Super Bowl, playing video games on his laptop. He had, you know, the headphones on. And when I walked down there to watch the halftime show with him, music was still playing with my friend upstairs, and I couldn't hear a thing. I was so worried the whole time my friend was over that my husband was going to hear every word we said. And of course, when us girls get together, we're always bitching about our husbands and our boyfriends. And I was worried that my husband would like overhear everything, and then none of my conversations would be private, and that bothers me. But when I went down there, I couldn't hear a single note of the music playing upstairs, which just means that if he can't hear the bumpin' music, he definitely can't hear my indoor voice conversations with my friend. So right there, I had this moment of like, whew, okay, like, this is the reassurance that I needed, that I can have my girlfriends over, we can be loud, get drunk, laugh hysterically, listen to upbeat bumpin' music, and guess what? My husband can also be at home. I don't have to banish him to a sports bar or to a baseball game. He can still be in the house and literally live in two separate worlds. I have my world upstairs with music and wine and chit-chat and girly things, and he has his man cave downstairs with sports and video games, and we literally do not hear a peep from the other world unless we choose to venture downstairs or he chooses to come upstairs. And that just felt so good. It was just like such a reassuring moment for me that, like, and now I'm thinking about how many occasions I can have my friends over for, because my husband, like, love you, but peace out. Out of sight, out of mind. I don't want to think about you right now. I don't want to look at you right now. Just go downstairs. And I know you're going to have fun down there, and I'm going to have fun up here. That was Valentine's Day. Fast forward to Monday, Valentine's Day. For the past few years, my husband and I have had, we're like very much both introverts, which is why it's so great that we can both be home at the same time and have no sight or sound of each other. It really works for us. So we're not big date people. We're not like dinner people or like movie theater people. We're just kind of home people. So for the past maybe 5 years for Valentine's Day, here's the tradition. My husband, on his way home from work, will go to a patisserie, a bakery, even the fucking Hy-Vee grocery store. Like, I don't care where you get the chocolate as long as you bring home the chocolate. I don't like flowers. They die too quickly. They seem like a waste of money to me because they only bring joy for a couple of days. And yes, they smell nice and they look nice, but like I said, they die. But you know what? It's very on brand for me as a two moods kind of gal. I'll appreciate the flowers, but I'll appreciate them even more when they die. Because when flowers die, they get this really, you probably have dead flowers in your house right now. I know I do. They're from our wedding day. Check that out. The flowers or the bouquet that I held on my wedding day in October of 2020, 2 years ago now, those flowers, roses have died and have dried, and they are sitting in my bedroom. So get me flowers, but I will love them thrice as much when they die, and then I can keep the dried bouquet. But anyway, I'm not big on flowers. Chocolates, though, if there's one cliche traditional element of Valentine's Day that I love, it's the chocolates. I have a massive sweet tooth. I could eat pie and cake and you know what? I'm not interested in candy. I don't like Tootsie Rolls or lollipops or gummy bears. I don't hate it. I don't love it. I'm very, like, whatever about it. But chocolate, like brownies, cookies, baked goods, eclairs, a chocolate macaroon, or just macaroons in general. So here's the thing. My husband works on Valentine's Day, comes, and then on his way home from work, he goes to a bakery, patisserie, chocolatier, and buys, like, a vast assortment of sweet goods. He brings that home, and of course he picks up a card. If there's one thing that I am a stickler for, is handwritten cards. I have every card that every man in my life has ever written me. And my husband knows this. It's not a secret. Every card that my ex-boyfriend has written for me, I have. Every card that, like, some random hookup has written for me, I have. And that also means that I have every card that my husband has ever given me. And we've been together for 10 years. We've been married for a year and a half. We've been together for nearly 10. That's 10 years worth of handwritten cards. And my hope is that when I'm old, oh my God, speaking of old, get this. My grandmother turns 100 next month. My mom told me this over the phone today, and I said to her, I was like, Mom, do you know what happened to Betty White? Everyone was expecting Betty White to turn 100, and it was going to be this massive internet celebration in honor of her. She died, like, what, 4 days before her 100th birthday? And I said to my mom, I was like, listen, like, that's fantastic. I am truly blessed to have healthy longevity genes in my family pool. But let's not get carried away here. Like, she could die before. And I'm just going to go ahead and knock. I just knocked on wood that she doesn't. That my grandmother makes it to her 100th birthday, because what a special occasion that would be. Why am I talking about old? Oh, yeah. My hope is that when I'm old and my memory starts to go, maybe I have Alzheimer's, maybe I have dementia, who knows? Maybe I'll look at my husband one day and not even recognize him. You know, that could happen. That could happen now. I could get in a car crash, a car accident, boom, brain injury. I don't know who the fuck my husband is. The hope then is that my husband could open a little drawer, pull out the stacks of handwritten cards, give them to me and say, listen, I am your husband, and here is written proof of all the years we've spent together. These are all the birthdays we've had together, all the Valentine's Day, all the anniversaries, all the Christmases. There's a card for everything. So Valentine's Day, my husband presents the card and then plates, you know, all the desserts in a pretty little way. This time, he really outdid himself, I have to say. He ended up purchasing 3 days worth of baked goods and chocolate goodies. I ate them Sunday night, ate them Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. Boom. That was my Valentine's Day. Talk about a sweet motherfucking mood. Let's talk about our sinister side. So since the weekend's coming up, I implore you to go on a little adventure. Prior to my mental health crisis, I went on this really fantastic, spooky little date by myself, totally by myself. It was a foggy, misty, cold day over the weekend, and I needed a book. I finished reading Frankenstein, which I do want to talk about eventually. Frankenstein blew my mind. The original Frankenstein from 1818, Mary Shelley. I will talk about it eventually, but I have to be in a better state of mind to talk really logically about such an impactful historic book in the horror culture. And my mind's not really there quite yet. It's still a little bit of a mess. I will get there. I finished Frankenstein and I said, I need a new book. And if there's one thing that I'm really trying to do this year and for all the years to come, it's to shop small, shop local, and just say goodbye to Sephora and Ulta and Barnes and Noble and Target. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes, don't get me wrong, like, of course I'll stop at Target and get, like, hand soap or a fucking kitchen knife. But for something like a book, there are so many options you have out there. Like, there are so many local independent bookstores in any city. Like, throw a dart at the map and you will find a bookstore. If there's anything that a small town has, there's always one coffee shop, there's always one bookstore, and there's always one thrift store, and there's always one business that you have no idea how it's still possibly open and functioning. So on this misty, cold, snowy weekend, I needed a book, and I live in the suburbs, and I drove 10 minutes north, and now I'm officially in the boonies. Like, this is what I love about Minnesota, is that small towns are everywhere. It's not like LA, where you can drive 30 minutes and you're still in LA. Or it's not like New York, where you take the subway a few stops and it's like, oh yeah, you're in a different borough, but you're still in the city of New York. What I love about Minnesota is that you can drive 10 minutes and it feels like you're in an entirely different country, state. One minute you're in the city, there's businesses and cars and public transportation, and look, there's a homeless person shitting on the street. 10 minutes north, south, east, west, just fucking pick a direction, drive 10 minutes and it's gorgeous lakes, and there's no hills or mountains in Minnesota. It's a very flat state, but it's lush, well, not in the winter, but like tons of just nature is what I'm fucking trying to say. You drive 10 minutes and you are gone. You are out of the city. You have no idea. You're in fucking Narnia over here. You walk through the wardrobe, you're in Narnia, it's snowy, it's beautiful. There's birds, there's deer, there's fawns, there's little beavers and otters. It's fucking amazing. So I drove 10 minutes from the suburbs and I felt like I was in Narnia, okay? I was waiting for Mr. Thomas to come greet me by a lamppost and offer me a Turkish delight, okay? So I'm in this small little town, and I go to the bookstore. Inside the bookstore, oh my God, it's so good. I'm smiling right now because it was such a good day. It was like the epitome of, if you love, there's a genre of book called cozy mystery. Not just mystery, cozy mystery. And in a cozy mystery book, the plot is usually the same. It's a small town, it's a sleepy town. It's always raining. It's always foggy and misty. There's, you know, these little shops everywhere and cobblestone streets and lampposts. It kind of feels very Sherlock Holmes. This was the vibe of the town that I drove to. Very sleepy. Everything is local. Everything is small. There's no one around. I enter the bookstore and I see the cutest, most decrepit old man that it was out of a movie. Like, you know, in movies at the local bookstore, there's always this like grumpy old man who seems really cold and jaded and just bitter about the world. And it's, but deep down, it's because he's lonely. Like, his wife died of cancer, or no, not cancer. His wife died from a drunk driver accident. It's always a human-caused accident. It's not like nature did its thing with a natural virus or a natural, you know, illness or condition. No. It was his wife, perfectly healthy. They're young and she's pregnant. She's always pregnant too. And she's driving home. And then, boom, there comes the drunk truck driver. He runs a red light. He runs a stop sign. Boom, she's dead. And now the husband lives his years alone. He's never moved on. He's never found true love again. He's bitter. He wants revenge. And he comes across to the locals of this small town as really, like, you know, mean and rough around the edges. And some people will say, like, oh, don't go in there because Mr. Gobberson is a mean old man, right? But then this young woman and her, you know, her young husband move to the new town. And with her, she brings this lust for life and bubbles and effervescence, and she's cute and she's just like so happy to be here. That's me, and that's the old man in the bookstore. And I walk into the bookstore and it's literally just me, and I say, like, hello, I'm just looking around today. And he's like, meh. He just like mumbles, you know what I mean? And in the back of my mind, I was like, okay, I can turn this around. I don't want this old man to be, you know, to be like hateful anymore. So I'm going to try and warm his cold heart. So I start saying things like, oh, you have a great collection. I moved to the neighborhood. I'm so happy to have found this place. I'm so tired of corporate Barnes and Noble. Like, I'm only going to shop here. Nothing really works. I'm still getting that like, we're definitely cheaper than that Barnes and Noble. That's literally what he said. And I was like, true that, true that. But here's where I managed to break his shield, his force field. Okay, I really wedged myself in there. I'm at the checkout. Oops, I just hit the microphone. Sorry. I'm at the checkout. And I say, do you by any chance sell secondhand comics? Because my husband is a huge Marvel fan. And this is what got him. The second I mentioned comics, you could see the light enter his eyes. You could see his cheeks come back to life. And now they're a sweet, rosy color. And he's flushed with pink. And he had this shimmer, this glitter in his eyes. And he goes, comics? Oh, okay, so Marvel. Okay, personally, I'm a DC man myself. I really like Spider-Man. But if you love Marvel, I have a whole bunch of Conans in the back from the 40s. Just, I couldn't get him to shut up. It went from me, like, trying to make conversation with him to me not being able to get him to stop talking. I think I literally said, like, okay, thank you so much. Have a great day. Like, 4 times before I actually touch the doorknob to walk out the door and go to my car. I could not get him to stop rambling about his Conan the Barbarian comic books from the 40s. And that was it. Like, you just need that one thing in common to make someone love you and enjoy your company and truly feel like they are on your side. So now I have my favorite bookstore in the whole wide world 10 minutes away, and it was a scene out of a cozy mystery novel. And I was waiting for Sherlock Holmes to burst into the bookstore and say, there's been a murder! And you know, she's been murdered in the back alleyway behind the bookstore, and we have to use our magnifying glasses to get a clue over here. That didn't happen. I sincerely hope that nobody ever gets murdered anywhere near me. That's city life shit, you know, homicides and that. That's the city. That's why I left. And I'm just so glad to be surrounding myself in cozy mystery novel atmospheres. So since the weekend's coming up, and if you want to truly embrace your sinister, spooky side, no matter what city you're in, drive 30 minutes. I mean, depending what city you're in. Like I said, if you're in LA, it's going to take a little bit more driving. If you're in the Midwest, 10 minutes. Drive some reasonable amount of time in any direction and find yourself in the middle of a sleepy town and go to the local bookstore or go to the antique shop. Just spend your money more consciously, you know? Target doesn't need your money. Walmart doesn't need your money. Barnes & Noble definitely doesn't need your money. Starbucks, oh my God, I just saw a news post the other day about Starbucks. Ugh, so frustrating. So Starbucks is obviously like a multi-million or even billion-dollar company. We all know this. The CEO of Starbucks is a fucking rich person with 300 yachts, 20 private jets, and 6 wives. You know what I mean? Despite all this money, and despite, I believe Starbucks actually gained profits during COVID. I don't know how that's really possible. People just needed their coffee to get through the day. Thinking clearly, I get it. Coffee does great things for a person's mental health. I can attest to that. So Starbucks actually increased their net profits during COVID. They didn't lose money. They actually gained money. And despite gaining money, they are now raising their prices. So as a way to say thank you, customers, thank you for helping us stay afloat during COVID. Thank you for giving us your money. We are now going to reward you by increasing our pumpkin spice lattes. I haven't shopped at Starbucks since I got a PSL this past fall. I don't remember how much I paid. It was probably close to like $5. now that Starbucks is raising their prices, that same latte that you've been sipping all these years is probably going to be closer to $6. If any of you are huge Starbucks lovers, please let me know, like, if you really have noticed an increase in prices. I just can't believe that a company that is so rich and has no need to worry about money or profit or employees or business, they are coming out of COVID thanking people by raising prices of their drinks. It's disgusting to me. So that's a promise I'm making to myself. Like, I am not going to shop at these massive, large Fortune 500 companies anymore because they don't need your money. And not only do they not need it, they're not very thankful for it. They're basically saying, thanks, customers, fuck you. Now you're going to pay $1.50 more for the same drink. It's ludicrous, and that sort of human behavior just disgusts me. So please, this weekend, if you are planning a date with your friends or yourself, go somewhere small, go somewhere local, embrace your sinister side, drive to a sleepy, spooky town, walk around. Hopefully you get a rainy day this weekend. Hopefully you get a cloudy, moody day, and you can just really set the mood for a cozy mystery atmosphere. And this is the impact that shopping small and shopping local has had on me. It was so evident today. So every 6 months, I go and get my engagement ring and my wedding ring inspected and cleaned. I make sure no diamonds are loose, yada, yada, yada. So I went to a very traditional capital S, capital M shopping mall, you know, the ones that are all over the suburbs. There's always a Foot Locker. There's always a Journeys. There's maybe a Claire's still. There's always a PacSun. You know the shopping mall I'm talking about. Very corporate. I'm walking through and I see an Urban Outfitters. I see a Brandy Melville. I see Athleta, Lululemon. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm just so over these large companies, because deep down, I think that every CEO is going to be similar to the Starbucks CEO, where they don't give a shit about your family history. They don't give a shit if you had COVID. Oh, you had COVID? Too fucking bad. Oh, you couldn't work for me? Well, then you're fucking fired. They don't give a shit. So I'm walking through this mall thinking like, oh, I could shop at Urban Outfitters. They definitely have cute stuff. Oh, I could use a new beanie. I live in Minnesota. It's always fucking cold. Oh, I could use all this stuff. But there was just such a bitter, distasteful taste in my mouth. I felt ashamed of myself to be walking into these large, massive companies and spending my dollar when in reality I could go, I could approach it the same way I approach books and art at like thrift stores and secondhand shops. Why don't I apply that same logic to clothes? So yeah, I could get a brand new bag from Urban Outfitters, but I could also go to like Buffalo Exchange or Plato's Closet or Goodwill and buy a perfectly nice bag for half the cost, and I'm still supporting a smaller local business. So when I was walking through the shopping mall, I was just like, wow, I've noticed this shift in me that I'm really proud of and I'm really wanting to stick to and honor, is that when you see firsthand how far your dollar goes. Like when I went to that bookstore, I ended up purchasing how many books? I think 3. I got one for my husband and I got 2 versions of Dracula for myself because I collect classic horror novels. So I paid for 3 books. It was like $15 for 3 books. At Barnes & Noble, it would have been like at $30 minimum. And I could just see the shop owner, you know, I warmed his heart now. He's like, thank you so much for your business. Thank you so much for shopping here. Like, we literally would not be open if you had not shopped here. And stores like Best Buy and Target and Lululemon, they thank you sometimes for coming in, but they don't need you. And I would rather support businesses that need me and depend on me versus fucking Starbucks. Oh, thanks for your support. You owe me an extra dollar, right? That's the commitment I'm making to myself, and I would implore you to spend this weekend shopping local and shopping small. That's all for me. I actually do feel a shit ton better than I did at the start. I knew it. I knew podcasting would be therapeutic and just rip off the Band-Aid, get over the hill, get out of your brain, and just fucking talk for a while. You know, it's therapeutic to vent sometimes. so I feel a shit ton better. And I will talk to you on Monday. If you want to follow me on Instagram, at Sophie Radvan, you want to follow the show at Two Moods Pod. I'll see you on Monday. Have a great weekend, everyone. Bye.